Okay.
Great. Can you, Drew, can you please bring Meryl on?
That yes, I can.
Lovely. I think she's waiting for us so we can begin our conversation. And I want to thank all of the people who have helped in what became a kind of emergency situation because Ralph was not available to do this in the usual graceful way that he does. So, Drew, thank you very much.
Sure
and thing. Brian, thank you very much. You are listening to the Dr. Rima Truth Reports new series. I'm Rima Ilebo, MD, and I have a little commercial break while we're talking about, while we're bringing our next guest, Meryl Gorey, from Australia on. A very interesting lady. Are you there, Meryl?
Yes, I am, Dr. Rima.
Wonderful. Give me 1 second to tell people about a couple of important things. We'll be talking now with Meryl Gorey about vaccination and about state-mediated vaccination and state-mediated terrorism in order to promulgate and promote that vaccination. Vaccination, no matter what the lies say, is intimately associated with autism. In fact, and I've told this story before, until 1943, the word autism did not exist, and it was in the very first paper by Leo Kanner in 1943 that it was said that autistic children whom he studied, A, had a disorder that he had never seen before, and Leo Kanner was a world expert in neurological disorders, and B, that all of the children had been recently vaccinated, and he called for a study on the relationship between this novel, terrifying state called autism and vaccination. And of course, that was not what the powers that he wanted at all. Now, the book that I've written, and I'll tell you how to get it, is a manual for families to retrieve their children from autism. Go to drrimatruth.com. That's our e-commerce site, drrimatruth.com. And there you will be able to access the book, which will bring you to a special website where we'll be posting updated information and so on. Yes, autism is caused by many things, but chief and foremost among them is vaccination. If you don't want to be vaccinated, you need to exert your right to not be vaccinated. And at drrimatruth.com, you will find a vaccine exemption card, which in the United States and other countries that follow the protocols and requirements of the Geneva Convention, countries that have ratified 126 of them, your right to informed consent is inviolable. Meryl and I were just having a discussion about how to find ways to assert that in Australia, but certainly in the United States, Canada, Western Europe, Mexico, there is no question. These are rights that can be asserted, and I urge you to go to drrimatruth.com and look at the wonderful things that we have there, all of which I've either written or I recommend. Now, Meryl Gorey is my guest from Australia, only sort of, kind of. She's been in Australia for a long time, but she actually comes from the New York area, which is why she doesn't sound like she comes from Australia, because she doesn't. It is my great, great pleasure to have another conversation with Meryl, who is a voice of reason and a light for the vaccine oppressed. Welcome, Meryl. Tell us about your organization, tell us about your work, and tell us about what's going on in Australia and why you say that it's coming soon to a source of terror near us, specifically the UN.
Exactly. I started an organization in 1994 that came to be called the Australian Vaccination Network. Australia is one of the few developed countries in the world that does not have a Bill of Rights or a Statement of Rights, and we are feeling that lack very badly right now. The situation, like in America with SB 277, is the worst it's ever been when it comes to asserting or defending individual rights to make decisions about our own bodies or the bodies of our children. And right now in Australia, we have a federal government run by someone by the name of Malcolm Turnbull, or as I prefer to call him, Malcolm Turnbull shit, because he has a very strong vested interest in the issue of vaccination and medical treatments. His wife, Lucy, is the chairman of the board of a company called Prima Biomed, which has strategic partnerships with vaccine manufacturers and is one of the distributors of an HIV vaccine, a Gardasil-type vaccine. And they have together made a fortune out of the recent legislation that was named by Rupert Murdoch's media, No Jab, No Pay, but enacted by the federal parliament here in Australia. And No Jab, No Pay has removed up to $15,000 per year per child from any family that does not vaccinate their children with every single recommended vaccine. I know that Italy has recently done something similar. And when I say that this is going to be coming to the United States, it's because the moves behind this, the movers and shakers who pushed for this sort of legislation are not necessarily located within Australia. They are multinationals, and they do not care what happens to our families. All they care about is profit and control.
And that echoes, if I may just interject, that echoes what I was saying at the beginning of the program, Meryl, that the globalists, the people who are deciding what we have to do with our bodies and what happens to our DNA and whether we live or die, whether we're useful to them or not. These people have no affiliation with any country or religion or party or tribe. They have their own agendas, and their own agendas are about suppression, control, raping us of our rights and our resources.
Exactly. Right now, Australia does not bear any relation to what you would commonly call a democratic state. In fact, it's getting closer and closer to the sort of government that North Korea has, where the government is in absolute control of every aspect of our lives, how we parent our children, how we feed our children, how we work for ourselves, what our education is going to be like. The government wants to control everything. And there is a big pushback happening right now. I think that some of your listeners probably would have been aware of the Chase Walker Stephen case, this little boy who was kidnapped by the government in New South Wales. And his parents are actually in court today trying to get him back. And a horrendous image of him was put out on Facebook today. This is a little boy who has severe cerebral palsy and intractable epilepsy. And he was treated with medical cannabis after having 100 seizures a day for many years on anticonvulsants that did nothing but put him into a comatose state. And his parents got him onto medical cannabis and an organic diet. And the turnaround in his health and his mental ability and everything was just amazing. And the state stole him about a week ago. Kidnapped him. They absolutely kidnapped him. He was ripped out of his mother's arms in the hospital. After the doctor in the hospital said he was fine to go home, he was being very well cared for and he should be with his family. The state, it's called FACS, Family and Community Services Workers, ordered the police to take him. And his father was locked in the bathroom at the hospital, not allowed to get out to help protect his family. His mother, who had wrapped her arms and legs around the wheelchair that her son was in, begging, please don't take my child. The police kicked and punched her and wrested her hands off of the wheelchair and dragged this boy away from her and then arrested her. And, I mean, the brutality that this family has gone through just because they want to take care of their little boy. And the before and after pictures when he was being cared for, in inverted commas, by hospital, and the pictures when his parents had changed his diet and taken him off of the anticonvulsants, he went from having 100 seizures a day to going 5 months without a seizure. And The hospital now has him back, and a picture was published on Facebook this morning of him lying in a hospital bed with his eyes rolled back into his head, naked except for a diaper, a nappy, and his body was all twisted and contorted. And this is the condition that he's in now versus what he was a week ago before he was kidnapped. It is horrendous. It is heartbreaking. This is a family that loves their child above anything else and cared for him above anything else. And the government has taken him away. And it is possible that he may not be allowed to go back with them. And I hope that's not going to happen. But this is what Australia and the United States are doing to families right now. And in fact, we have national marches coming this weekend on Sunday to protest against the government policy of discriminating against families who've made a legal choice not to fully vaccinate or not to vaccinate at all, and also in support of Chase Walker Stevens' family. The information about those rallies is on the Fans of the ABN Facebook page. You can just go to Facebook and type in Fans of the ABN, as well as in the ABN's website, which is just abn.org.au. And we urge everyone to be vocal on this issue, whether you're in Australia or anywhere else in the world. If we stay silent, our rights will be taken away and we will never get them back again.
Sorry, I had myself on mute. If we stay silent, our rights will be taken away and we will never get them back again. It's like taxes. They don't go down. Rights go down, but taxes go up, and then they don't go down again. This is a critical issue. Now, I tried to follow the link to the picture that you had sent, Meryl, on our Skype chat, and I got a Facebook page that says, sorry, this content isn't available right now. So it is being censored.
Facebook removed the photo, the before and after photo, within about 15 minutes of it being posted. They moved really fast. If anyone would like to see the photo, I am happy to private message it to them. Go to the Fans of the ABN Facebook page, click on the messages button, say you would like a copy of the picture. As long as they don't ban my account, I will send you a copy of the picture. I think the reason that Facebook didn't want people to see it is because the difference between the picture of little Chase taken about a week and a half ago and the picture of him taken either today or yesterday in the hospital is shocking. And that picture, may I add, his parents have not been allowed to know where he is. Even his legal people, his lawyers, have not been allowed to know where Chase is being held against his will. So we believe that one of the hospital staff who was sympathetic took that picture and sent it to either his legal team or his family, and that's how it got out. Even in the hospital, there are many people who were devastated by the treatment of this family. The staff in the emergency department were crying, we were told, after the mother was dragged out. And the mother was dragged out of the hospital. If you could see her, she's like, I'm not exactly a giant among women. I'm 5'3". This woman is a couple of inches shorter than me and very thin. And police dragged her out of the hospital. And when she got out, there were about 30 people, friends of hers, who were waiting there for her, ready to offer her any assistance they could. They were not allowed to go into the hospital with her. The hospital was not allowed to let them in. But when they saw her being dragged out in handcuffs, they ran to her, and the police pepper sprayed them, and they pepper sprayed her, this tiny little woman. And they actually beat up some of the people who were out there. It was incredible police brutality, and it was all captured on Facebook Live. So anybody who wants to see this can see it on Live. All they need to do is go into Facebook and put in hashtag Chasing Hope or hashtag Bring Chase Home, and they will find quite a bit of information about this young boy. And he is just an innocent young child, but he and his family have become the rallying cry for those who support informed choice and freedom in Australia. Such a basic thing, such a basic freedom to be able to choose what we want our child to eat, how we're going to treat them if they're ill. And Chase is not ill by accident either. Chase was injured first by his vitamin K shot that was given to him a couple of hours after birth. He was born perfectly normal. His Apgar score was 10 at 10 minutes post-birth. And he was given a vitamin K shot and started having seizures within a couple of hours of that shot. The hospital staff refused to accept that he was having seizures until one of the nurses happened to be holding him when he had one. And she said, oh, that's not right. That's a seizure. And they did an MRI scan. And they found that his brain activity was fine. There was no sign of brain damage. And a little while after that, they gave him the hepatitis B vaccine, and then his seizures became intractable. And he continued to be vaccinated despite the seizures, despite the fact that he was being diagnosed with spasticity or cerebral palsy. He continued to be vaccinated until he was about 2 years old. And after his last dose of vaccine, he was admitted to hospital again. He was admitted after every dose of vaccine. He was admitted to hospital again, and the staff told his parents to go home and prepare for his funeral. And they refused to do that. They did their research. They stopped vaccinating him. They had it put in his record that he stopped vaccinating because of previous reactions after vaccines. And all the media in Australia now is calling this an anti-vaccine family. He got, I think, 27 vaccines. And that is not an anti-vaccine family. That is a family that took a responsible action to stop exposing their child to something that was causing him harm. I mean, if you have a child who has a peanut allergy and you continue to feed them peanuts, you will be guilty of child abuse. And I believe that continuing to vaccinate a child who has obvious reactions to vaccines is child abuse. Not vaccinating them is a smart thing to do. But this family is being pilloried by the media and by the courts and by the justice system or the injustice system and by all the government authorities. And Australia as a whole is rallying around this family. And we will have hopefully thousands of people marching on Sunday across this country in support of Chase and his family and also in support of freedom of choice.
Incredible fascism. You said that the Australian government, and remember, folks, these measures are tried out in one place and then expanded into others in the same way that fluoridation was experimented with in the United States in Kingston, New York, and in Salt Lake City, and then the FDA, on the basis of totally fraudulent results, totally fraudulent, where the damage to the fluoridated children was published as the status of the unfluoridated children. They switched the headers on the data columns, and the FDA a few years ago was forced to announce that, yes, they knew that that was so. But on the basis of these two small studies, fluoridation was recommended for everyone, man, woman, child, infant, pregnant woman, your 96-year-old granny with cancer, everybody. And in the same way, what was tried in California for the vaccine mandate suddenly became the model legislation for all the other states in the United States. So when Australia is able to push through something like this, then it will be disseminated. It will be toxically sprayed, if you will, into the regulatory systems of the rest of the world that the government currently controls. Now, you said that in Australia, even what you feed your children is under state control. Tell me about that.
Well, there are many families. There is something I've been doing research on this for the last few weeks. Some of your listeners may have heard of something called Munchausen syndrome by proxy. This is a made-up condition that that parents are being accused of hurting their children in order to gain attention for themselves. And some of the symptoms of Munchausen's is parents who take too great an interest in the treatment of their children. Parents who ask too many questions of medical staff about the treatment of their children. So, you know, this is a condition that allows doctors to control parents. In the latest edition of the DSM, the Diagnostics and Statistical Manual, which is the Bible for psychology, and Psychiatry, the DSM-5 was just released not long ago. And in that manual, Munchausen's has been renamed to something called medical child abuse. And this is one of the things that Chase's family is basically being accused of. They called it medical negligence, but it's the same thing. And this is basically any parent who does not follow the standard of care or the best practice according to the government and the doctors, who know nothing about health, because 1,000 Australians are killed every week by medical malpractice or hospital-borne infections or reactions to properly prescribed medicine. So 1,000 a week are dying from that, and they think they have the right to tell the rest of us what to do. But in this medical negligence, the category is so broad that it can encompass many things. If you feed your children an exclusively organic diet, and a doctor or someone decides that that is not a good thing for your child, you can be accused of medical negligence and have your child taken away from you. If you decide that you want to treat them using homeopathy or naturopathic remedies, that can be considered to be medical child abuse, and your child can be taken away from you. If you don't vaccinate, that could be used as a symptom of medical child abuse, and you could get your child taken away from you. This is not just in Australia, Dr. Rima. The DSM-5 is an international manual for all psychologists and psychiatrists, and this is the next thing that's going to be happening, the next step.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's say that again. This is an international straitjacket for what used to be at least a semi-respectable profession of psychiatry, which is no longer, and I am a psychiatrist, I have to tell you, and for psychology and for political oppression. Now, let me point out to you that in modern times, every single fascist state, every single dictatorial state, dictator's state, every single one has made use of medical poker, medical personnel, medical pseudoscience to control, to crush, and to kill its citizens. Germany stands out as a very good example, but it's not the only one. And we, and I say this collectively, including Australia and the other partners in this madness, are doing a very good job of the same thing. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. I know that in Australia right now, according to the latest statistics, one child in 18 is autistic.
Community which I know of, which is the Somali community in Minnesota, those who vaccinate their children was about 1 in 36. So we're talking about one child in 18 approaching, excuse me for interrupting you, Meryl, approaching Dr. Stephanie Sennett's prediction that by 2032, one child in two will be autistic because of the glyphosate and the aluminum and the mercury, and yes, there's mercury in pediatric vaccines, and the antibiotics in the vaccines. One child in 18. That is, you took me by surprise, Meryl. I'm very pleased to learn something new, and I'm very sorrowful that it's not.
We're going to reach that 1 in 2 figure well before the United States does, and part of it could be that we have a large population of not only Aboriginal inhabitants, but also people from countries where, like Asia, we have a lot of people from parts of Asia where they are more susceptible to these sorts of reactions, just like the Somali community in Minneapolis is. It is a shocking situation where we get the media saying we've had 10 cases of measles in Australia, everybody must get vaccinated, and yet we have millions of families who've been affected by vaccine injury, and nobody is looking at this or is even concerned. People continue to believe the government line of rubbish that vaccine reactions are one in a million, rather than acknowledging that the actual one in a million is accepting that a vaccine injury has occurred. Because once you know what a vaccine injury looks like, you only have to look around you and you will see that those injuries are everywhere. Know a child under the age of two who has diabetes? Chances are that's a vaccine injury. Know someone with a seizure disorder? Mostly vaccine injuries. I can go on and on. Aside from autism and ADD and ADHD, there are so many chronic conditions for which children are now being treated, and many of those are vaccine related. In Australia, I'm not sure if it's the same in the US, but in Australia, it is now considered normal to have a child be given 12 courses of antibiotics. So that's a 10-day usually course of antibiotics in 1 year. That does not require a referral to a specialist because that's considered normal. That is not normal. Just because it's common does not mean it's normal. And when you have a child who is on antibiotics constantly, their gut is totally destroyed, their immune system is totally destroyed, and their health can be totally destroyed forever. So we need to be looking seriously at why our kids are so sick. My unvaccinated daughter, the youngest one, did not have a course of antibiotics until she was 7 years old, and the doctor was shocked. He was like, "How is that possible?" And I said, "How is it possible that you're so shocked that she didn't need antibiotics until now?" And that is the only dose of antibiotics she's ever had, and she is 21 years old now.
Wow. And now my story about pediatric antibiotics is the exact opposite, and I am filled with regret. My son was born in 1974, and at that time I actually thought that vaccines were a good thing, because after all, I was a doctor, and while I did not use any drugs in my practice because I knew they were not good things, I still had, shall we say, some residual errors in my understanding. And so when he would get ear infections, middle ear infections, I would give him amoxicillin. And when he spoke very young, he spoke at 3 months, and so he learned very early to say to me, "It's time for the amoxicillin." And so he was self-diagnosing, because when he would have that pressure and beginning pain in his ears, he would ask for the amoxicillin. And I gave it to him over and over and over again, not knowing he was breastfed and he was eating a pathologically healthy diet according to the new DSM-5 manual. Actually, everything he ate was clean and free of pesticides and herbicides and artificial colors and other toxins. Poor toddler. So I gave him antibiotics because I thought I was doing him a favor. I gave him, remember, this is 1974, I gave him the few vaccines that were then part of the schedule because I thought I was doing him a favor. And in fact, in 1976, when we were going traveling, I moved heaven and earth to find a smallpox vaccine to give him, because I believed that it was so important. Now, happily for him, and in retrospect, happily for all of us, I was not able to find a single dose of the vaccine, and therefore he traveled without the smallpox vaccine, and miracle of miracles, he didn't get smallpox.
How lucky.
So, lucky child, no vaccine, no smallpox. Woo! And by the way, those of you who are interested might want to go to the internet and look up Dr. Rima, D-R-R-I-M-A, India paper, because in that paper I talk about the fact that smallpox was never eradicated by vaccine programs. The name of smallpox was changed to monkeypox. And the day that happened, the incidence of smallpox around the world dropped to zero, in the same way that in India, in the 13 months before India was declared a polio-free country by WHO and CDC, in those 13 months, they were vaccinating like crazy, and 57,300 children developed a disease that looked like polio, but couldn't have been polio because it was called non-polio acute flaccid paralysis, whereas polio is called acute flaccid paralysis. But when the children, when many, many of those children had their bodies tested for the virus, they found that the virus in the vaccine was the causal agent for the non-polio acute flaccid paralysis. And this particular vaccine delivered polio was twice as lethal, twice as deadly as community acquired polio. So these people are up to no good and will resort to the most blatant, primitive, lethal shenanigans. And then you say, well, what about polio? It was eliminated with the vaccine. And oh, by the way, what about smallpox? It was eliminated with the vaccine. No, the names were changed to protect the guilty.
Exactly. It's amazing. Medicine does this over and over and over again. If a vaccine comes out and you want to make it appear that it's working, what you do is you reclassify the disease. And with polio, that happened in the U.S., it happened in India. Prior to the mass use of the polio vaccine in India, nobody was ever tested for the presence of the polio virus. They were only diagnosed based on clinical symptoms. So if they had a certain sort of paralysis, they had polio. As soon as the vaccine came in, laboratories came in as well for testing, and you were required to test. So who knows what was actually causing the paralysis before the vaccine came in, and much of what was considered polio probably was exactly what was being diagnosed, the non-polio acute flaccid paralysis. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. There are so many more deaths from this form of paralysis, as you said, than there were before vaccination. And polio in and of itself was never a problem in India before the vaccination came in. It's just that there is this mad rush to get rid of all diseases. And there are over 270 new vaccines in development, which, if we allow governments like the American government and the Australian government to mandate vaccination, our children and we will be targeted with. And how much is too much? You know, your child born in 1974 might have gotten 5 or 6 vaccines, but children today are getting upwards of 60 vaccines in that same time period. And it's just, nobody's immune system is meant to take that. And we don't even know how the immune system works. We have no idea.
Vaccines are a lot like radiation, by which I mean there is no safe dose of radiation. There is no safe dose of a vaccine program, not one bit of vaccination, not one event in a vaccination program is safe. Andrew Molden, MD, PhD, whom I invite you to look up on the internet and look at some of the videos of, Molden. Andrew Molden showed conclusively, to my understanding, that every single vaccine, one dose of any vaccine, will cause neurological damage. Now, if you have lots of redundancy in your system, you can get away with being damaged a number of times before the symptoms become so overt that the group of symptoms has a name, ADD, or diabetes, or asthma, or eczema, or autism. But in fact, if every vaccine dose causes microstrokes, and if you can see on the face of the child or adult who is vaccinated a change from before to after, then why are we vaccinating? And by the way, this is very interesting. One of the people corresponding with me while the show is going on, Brian Lang, the creator of Live Truth Radio Network, Brian Lang said, your site won't open. And he sent me screenshots of websites, pages saying this site can't be found. When I try to open Dr. Rima Truth Reports, it opens up just fine. So this is like Facebook sparking the picture up and disposing of it and all the other things that Facebook has been part of the suppression of information through. Now, I have to tell you, I would love to know if you go to drremetruthreports.com, what you get. I got the website opening, and I would love it if you would send me an email at reles3@gmail.com. That's reles3@gmail.com. And let me send you a screenshot of what you get. This is really important. This is sneaky censorship, and we've had this before many times. Meryl, please continue. You're talking about what they don't want us to know.
Yes. And what we're talking about, and what we have been talking about pretty well since the beginning of the program, is the risks of vaccination. And to be honest with you, to my mind, the risks of vaccination are really not important, and that may sound really strange, but to me, unless you can prove that vaccines actually work, the risks become a moot point. And there is a book that was written by an Australian researcher and statistician. His name is Greg Beattie, and he used to be the past president of the Australian Vaccination Skeptics Network, and he has been researching the issues of vaccine effectiveness and vaccine necessity for probably close to 30 years now. And he wrote a book called Fooling Ourselves on the Fundamental Value of Vaccines. It's not a big book. It probably takes 4 or 5 hours to read it cover to cover, and I can't recommend it highly enough. It's recently been updated and redistributed. But what he shows is that vaccines haven't actually done anything to reduce the risk of death from any of these diseases that we currently vaccinate against. So if the vaccines are not going to prevent the disease, then the issue of whether or not vaccines are safe becomes a non-issue. In addition, and this is something I always talk about with doctors and researchers and immunologists, and nobody has ever been able to refute what I am saying. Vaccines are intended. You inject a small amount of a virus or a bacteria, and it's supposed to teach your immune system to produce protective antibodies, which are a kind of protein that when your body is exposed to this virus or bacteria again in the future, it already knows how to defeat it so that you won't develop the symptoms of the disease. So if you're vaccinated against measles, you get a tiny bit of the measles virus, and 10 years down the track when you're exposed to measles, your immune system says, aha, I've seen this already, I know what to do, you're not going to get measles. And it sounds good, it almost makes sense, except we've known since the 1930s that the presence of antibodies does not indicate immunity. All the presence of antibodies indicate is exposure to a disease. And a lot of people can actually be exposed to diseases and never develop antibodies at all and yet be protected. I'm a perfect example. I've been exposed to chickenpox through my whole life. I nursed 4 children through chickenpox. I've never had the chickenpox. When I've had my blood tested, I have no chickenpox antibodies, yet I am immune. Immunity does not equal antibodies, and antibodies do not mean that you're immune. So the only way the vaccines are supposed to work is by inducing the production of antibodies in the bloodstream of the person who is vaccinated. And we know that that does not mean they're immune in any way, shape, or form. People with very high levels of antibodies can still get the disease. People with no or low levels of antibodies don't get symptoms when exposed to the disease, even if intentionally exposed. So the whole basis for vaccination is a fallacy. The whole basis for injecting or ingesting a product into the bloodstream or into the gut in order to prevent future infection is a lie. So whether or not vaccines are safe doesn't really matter. Whether or not they work is what does matter. And according to all the available evidence, not only don't they work to prevent infectious diseases, but they may, in fact, leave people more susceptible to the diseases they've been vaccinated against and also more susceptible to chronic illnesses, which are now epidemic in the world.
I want to underscore absolutely every point that Meryl has made. She's absolutely correct. We have known since the 1930s that the antibody induction model of disease protection, which presumably is how vaccines work, is wrong. The science is very clear. As Hillary Clinton so famously said, the science is settled. The sky is blue. Then she got it wrong. She said vaccines work. The science has settled. The sky is blue. Vaccines do not work. Vaccines produce perturbations. They irritate the immune system, and that causes damage. Sometimes the damage is so significant immediately that a mom or dad or both will say, my baby was perfectly normal. Then they came home from the pediatrician, cried a high-pitched cry, and was never the same again. Lost all the words, made eye contact, never again. Sometimes it's that dramatic, and sometimes it's more subtle. Vaccine injury, we just had a study published about children who were exposed to the DPT vaccine and the chickenpox vaccine, and their increased level of many, many, many diseases, autism only being one, compared to children who were not vaccinated with these same two vaccines. And by the way, shingles in children was completely unknown before chickenpox vaccination. And shingles in adults has increased dramatically since chickenpox vaccination. Oh yes, herpes zoster is the virus that causes chickenpox in children and shingles in adults. This is so important. There is no benefit from any vaccine. There is only harm. But even if they worked, and even if the harm were less than it is, if my issue is, if there is risk, there must be choice. There is risk to vaccination. There is risk to radiation. There is risk to microwaves in the atmosphere. There is risk to genetically modified foods. There is risk to chemtrailing. And therefore, I have a choice about each of these things. I choose not to be irradiated. Thank you so much. I choose clean and healthy food. I choose not to be vaccinated. I own my body, and if I don't, then I am a slave, either to the government or the corporation or whoever owns my body. That's what we're fighting for. And in the meantime, our children and we ourselves are collateral damage if we don't stop this globalization of ownership of our own bodies, of which the autistic Holocaust and all the other things that come from vaccines are only one part.
That's exactly right. And I really think that people are starting to wake up, and that's one of the reasons why the efforts to censor, like your website and the photo of Chase on Facebook, and the efforts to take away our rights have become so strong so quickly, because study after study, survey after survey, show that 50% or more of families question whether vaccines are safe and effective, question whether medications are the way to go, are using natural therapies as their first port of call when they're ill. They're using chiropractors and naturopaths and homeopaths instead of going to the doctor. And there is an entire entrenched industry that is worth trillions of dollars that is at stake here. Enough money to buy every government in the world many times over. And they do own the governments. I mean, when you say the corporates or the government, it's the same. Our government is a corporate government. And they honestly, yes, it takes more than an election to make a democracy. These are people who were elected ostensibly by us, but are not serving us. They are not our representatives. They are not our public servants. They serve a different master. And we need to take our power back in our hands. and exercise it. And we need to be vocal and calling our members of parliament, calling our congressmen and our senators, and telling them that we will not stand for this, that there will be widespread civil disobedience, because you try telling a mother that she's got to harm her child, and you poke the tiger. And trust me, the government has poked the tiger to the point where the tiger is going to bite back. And it's only a matter of time, hopefully not too much more time, before people start taking to the streets and protesting and hopefully visiting their representatives and just telling them, like the old show Network, we're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take all of us coming together to defend our rights. A second American Revolution, but a bloodless one. A second Australian Revolution, but a bloodless one. We will demand the rights that the government has taken away from us without our permission. We will take them back.
Exactly, exactly. Oh, I think that's beautifully said, and I'm thrilled to hear you say it. Now, how can we help what's happening with this baby and with other babies, and how can you help what is happening in this country that we're calling medical kidnap? How can we support each other?
Well, I think doing what we're doing now, just airing this information and sharing it on social media, I hate Facebook, but it's such a good way of reaching, you know, millions of people. So sharing this information is fabulous. I invite everyone who's listening to this program, whether they're in Australia or anywhere else around the world, to visit the ABN website. It's abn.org.au, because we are putting up information on a couple of times a week on things that are coming up, such as the rallies in all the capital cities except for Tasmania. Hobart is not having a rally, but we need people to come together, and Darwin's not having a rally either. We need people to come together and be active. A lot of people, especially natural therapists, I don't know if it's the same in the U.S., but in Australia, we've got an organization called APRA that registers all natural therapists, and they have said outright that if someone does not support 150% vaccination of everyone, one size fits all vaccines, they will be deregistered and lose their license to practice whatever form of healing they are actually working at. And a lot of people are afraid to come out to these rallies because of it. I mean, if you have to get your message across through threats and intimidation, you don't have a message that's backed by any science or anything. You've just got a message that is one of force. So what we are urging people to do is be brave. You know, be brave. Either come out as yourself, or when you come to the rallies or you come to any of these meetings, wear a mask. And if anyone asks you why, say, because I don't want my livelihood or my life threatened, because I believe that everyone should have a right to free choice. Whatever the case is, everyone needs to stand up, and we need to stand up now. The time for hiding is over. It is long over. And if we don't stand together now, then we have no chance of standing together later. This is the time.
Absolutely. Would you tell us about Tasha David? I go to your website, avn.org.au, and I see Tasha looking out at me. Tell us about Tasha David.
Tasha David is the president of the ABN, and she's one of the most amazing women I have ever met. She was widowed before she was 40 with 8 children, 6 of whom are vaccine injured, 3 of those seriously. And that would crush most people, but it didn't crush Tasha. She discovered that her children were vaccine injured through finally finding people who were able to help her. And when she discovered that was after the birth of her 6th child, who was partially vaccinated. Her 7th and 8th children are completely unvaccinated and perfectly healthy. The other 6 children all have issues, some of them significant, all from vaccines. And she was left without a husband, without a lot of support. Her family has been an incredible support for her. But she did not hide. She's a normally very shy person, but she did a lot of research. She speaks out now on this issue, and she is an incredible leader for the AVN, which is the national organization in Australia. We have many local organizations that support and inform parents about vaccination. The AVN is the national organization. And Tasha tells her story, and what we have started doing lately is working with the producers of the documentary Vaxxed, who probably a lot of your listeners would know about. That was Andrew Wakefield and Del Bigtree. And we are filming families whose children have been injured by vaccines or who they themselves have been injured. Tasha just did two heart-wrenching interviews with two women who were injured by the Gardasil vaccine. One of them has many serious health complications after Gardasil. These were vaccinated as adults, perfectly healthy women. And the other one got the Gardasil vaccine and now has terminal cervical cancer, which is exactly the disease that Gardasil is supposed to prevent. And so she did those interviews. They're on our website. We have a web page and a YouTube channel where we're putting up these interviews. And at the rallies next Sunday, we have invited anyone who wants to share the story of their reaction or their child's reaction to let us know. They can use the link at the website by emailing us, or they can call. If they would like to share their story, we will film their story and share it. People need to see the faces of vaccine injury, because on the one hand, they have their doctors and the government saying vaccines are perfectly safe and these people are crazy. And then on the other hand, if they can see and hear the stories of these people, they will realize they've been lied to. And that's what it is. I'm not saying doctors are liars. Most doctors are taught in medical school, you would know this, that vaccines don't even cause reactions. If anything, it's just swelling at the site and a fever and a little bit of grumbling. That's it. And that is not the case. If you look at the manufacturer's information from the companies that make vaccines, the list of side effects is long and the list of serious side effects is long. And people need to be informed. It's not fair for anyone to make a decision that important without being told, both sides.
It's so, not only not fair, it's not legal, at least in the United States.
It's the same in Australia. The National Health and Medical Research Council is very clear about what constitutes informed choice. And what the government is doing with their coercive and bullying policies is not at all what informed choice constitutes, but they have written the laws in such a way that it is at this point almost impossible to challenge them as laws. What we're hoping for is enough people in Parliament who will have a conscience, and I don't know, it could be like, you know, searching for an honest man, but we're hoping that there'll be enough people in Parliament who have a conscience, who are exposed to these families and see their pain, see what they're going through, that they will help us and overturn this disgusting legislation. At the beginning of the program, I've got to bring this up. I'm Jewish by birth. I'm not a religious person at all, but I'm Jewish by birth, and I was raised in the Jewish tradition. And I learned a lot about Germany, not just during the war when the concentration camps were open, but in the 1930s, you know, the early 1930s, before the war, when Jews were called dirty Jews and people were told that they were responsible for every ill in society. Everything that went wrong was the Jews' fault. Well, people who choose not to vaccinate fully or not to vaccinate at all are today's dirty Jews.
Exactly.
We are being blamed for everything. And our governments, the American government and the Australian government, are inciting not only hatred, but inciting violence against our families. And that in itself is illegal. So we need to change the dialogue. We need to make it one of human rights, inalienable human rights, because these are things we are born with and our government cannot take them away.
That is so well said and so accurate. Give your website again, Meryl.
Sure. It's AVN, A for Apple, V for Victor, N for November, .org.au. And on Facebook, this is not the official AVN Facebook page, but it is a Facebook page that links back to the AVN, is Fans of the AVN on Facebook. So please come and visit, say hi, like the page. Go to the website and look through the information. We've got huge amounts of information on the AVN website. And if you feel so inclined, volunteer to help us out or join as a member. We'd love it.
You are doing extraordinarily important work. and we link hands with you and do everything we can to support what we're doing at the Natural Solutions Foundation. We have created the Advanced Vaccine Directive, which allows people in many countries to assert their informed consent rights in a way that has to be honored, even though the people at the hospital who are telling you you can't keep your job unless you're vaccinated, or the people at the school who are saying your child needs to be vaccinated, will tell you those things, but they're not true. Australia, apparently, the legal battle goes on. The laws were written by criminals, and they continue to behave in a criminal fashion, but the people are saying no, no more. And I think that's of enormous importance.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. Rima. That everything you said is true, and we really do need to work together. So across the tens of thousands of miles, we reach out to you too, and thank you for reaching out back.
Thank you. This is an international problem which is being promulgated by international criminals.
Aiden's going to love it.
And we can say no together. One of us, no. We'll take our babies. But many of us, oh yes.
Yep. Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Now, you've been listening to the Dr. Rima Truth Reports. This is the first episode in our new series. I hope you'll join us on Wednesdays from 8 to 10 here on Live Truth Radio Network. Brian Lang has created a platform for voices that tell the truth. And we're very honored to be here. And by the way, I'm on Brian's show every Monday night, livetruthradio.com, every Monday night from about 8:20 until 10. And it's always a pleasure to talk with him. So please go to Dr. Rima Truth Reports, D-R-R-I-M-A, truthreports.com, and put your email address in for our free newsletter. And by the way, make sure you go to drrimatruth.com. That's our e-commerce site, and find out what it is that I recommend. And if you are concerned with autistic children and retrieving them, please, please access my new book. It's there to help families. Meryl, you have a copy of the book. I hope you're finding it useful.
Yes, it's excellent. Thank you. I'm deep in it.
good, wonderful. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you, Brian. And thank you, Drew, for pinch hitting as our engineer. I truly appreciate your help. Thank
sure
you
thing.
So much.
Sure thing.
Good night.
How you doing, everybody? This is Charles Strange, Gold Star Father, Michael Strange. Stand up, speak out, and get involved. Yeah! God bless America.
Stand up, speak out, and get involved.
Let me ask you something.